A new study from the University of Vermont finds whale pee, yes, that's right, whale pee, is a critical part of ocean ecosystems. Whales, the biggest animals on Earth, travel from the Arctic to tropical seas to birth their calves, and the waste they leave there is chock full of nutrients. Vermont Public Climate and Environment reporter Abigail Giles spoke with researcher Joe Roman to learn more about his findings.
Can you tell me a little bit more about just how much nutrients these animals are carrying across the ocean, and what are they eating and what are they doing to release them?
One is through placentas, and whale placentas can be several hundred pounds when it's released into the ocean, and we've seen sharks feed on those placentas. Two is carcasses. What we found that we didn't expect was that urine is the primary pathway for the essential elements. Why urine? Well, you die once. You have your birth once a year, but you're peeing every day. And one estimate for fin whales is about 250 gallons a day that they're peeing. Humans pee about half a gallon. So you can see why, okay, all this, in this case, we were looking at nitrogen, and all this phosphorus is getting into these areas like Hawaii and the Caribbean. If you've ever been there, you probably think of clear blue waters. One of the reasons that their waters are so clear is they're nutrient limited, often nitrogen limited. Whales are bringing in, we estimate, about 4,000 tons of nitrogen per year. We also had about 4,000 tons of biomass coming from Alaska to Hawaii every year.
It sounds like we're talking about almost a sort of like desert in the ocean. But in terms of those tropical ecosystems that are nutrient poor, that are getting the benefit of all this nutrient transport, what is that nitrogen doing to support life there?
One way that nitrogen can be picked up is in the phytoplankton or the marine algae. And that's why, that's one of the reasons those areas are pretty clear, is because you don't have a lot of phytoplankton. If you go to off the coast of New England, the waters would be murkier. That can be cycled through to the fish populations in those areas, possibly getting into corals as well.
Was there anything that made your stomach turn or was kind of gross a little bit in doing this research?
It's never pleasant to step inside a whale that has died, that is stranded and rotted for a couple of days. It's pretty stinky every day that goes by. Right whale feces is one of the strongest smelling and most challenging feces to collect and analyze of any species that I've found. Whale pee, we more watch it than collect it.
I had to ask. I think I saw in the study that you estimate that before commercial whaling, whales would have been transporting maybe three times as much nutrients as they are now. So I'm just curious, how is the cycle changing, and is it threatened by climate change as well?
We'll start with the bad news, good news, and then maybe the questionable news. Bad news is, for about 1,000 years, we were commercial whaling, and the goal was never sustainability. It was basically serial depletion. You go one place, you harvest them as hard as you can, and you go somewhere else. By the 1960s, many whale species were on the point of extinction. The good news is, in the 1970s and 1980s, the U.S. passed the Marine Mammal Protection Act, the Endangered Species Act, and then the International Whaling Commission put a moratorium on whaling. And across 50 years, the response has been, for many species, remarkable. Your last question was about climate change. It seems unlikely that whale populations, at least in the southern hemisphere, will be sustainable as the oceans heat up. And why is that? Because different organisms are going to thrive in a warmer ocean. So one study suggests that krill populations, which support fin whales and humpback whales especially, will decline, and it's likely that populations will decrease with climate change.
Well, Joe, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.